As was earlier announced, the scripture reading this evening is coming from Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. Again, that's Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. And I'll bring from the New King James Version. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
Good evening. As you may have guessed from the scripture reading, this evening we're going to talk for just a little while about forgiveness. And as I usually do when I pick a one-word topic, I like to look and see how many times it's used in our Bible. And I like to also remind us all that if God mentions something once, it's important. In the case of forgiveness or forgive, it's mentioned 95 times in our Bible. So maybe he's trying to tell us something or remind us about something that's very, very important. Now, forgiveness is, of course, a truly Christian value. Or a Christian virtue. Consider the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 6 and verse 37. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Right? So if we want to be forgiven, we need to forgive. And as we just saw in the scripture reading and from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, 14 and 15, if we forgive men when they sin against us, our Heavenly Father will forgive us, right? So if we want forgiveness, we have to give forgiveness. The Apostle Paul put forgiveness into a slightly different framework in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. He says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Right, so forgave us of what? Well, it forgave us of our sins, right? And it's those same sins that put Jesus Christ on the cross. And of course, Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 tells us that while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. Paul also in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13 says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. So do we value what the Lord has forgiven us? Do we put value on our forgiveness? If we do, then we need to pay that forward, right? God forgave us. We need to forgive others if we truly value that forgiveness. Peter, who was a man who really from experience knew the value of forgiveness, wrote in concluding his first epistle in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8, he says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. So what does love have to do with forgiveness? Well, if we go to the chapter on love, right, Paul writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul declared that love keeps no record of wrongs. That's 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. Right? And, of course, that little phrase does deserve a little bit closer examination. Right? It's the idea that love does not keep score of the sins of others. Right? Doesn't keep score. Love doesn't keep score, not because it has a bad memory. Love doesn't keep score because it learns to forget. Right? Love forgets the sins of others. And that's really one of the reasons why forgiveness is so difficult, because it involves forgetting. Right? And that's the piece that I think, you know, most of us struggle with. I struggle with. I'm sure you struggle with it as well at times. Right? Love doesn't focus on such things as keeping score. Right? But far too often, that's where we put our own focus, is on, you know, how many times somebody has done something to me. Of course, we have the greatest, most profound statement on the topic of forgiveness in the Bible in its purest example. Jesus, when he was hanging on the cross, condemned to death by evil men who plotted to murder him, this is Jesus, the Son of God, right? He said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." That's Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. Those 11 tortured words should just wipe away any weak excuse that we have for having an attitude of forgiveness. If Jesus could have an attitude of forgiveness in that moment, what's my problem? Right? What's your problem? We shouldn't go through life carrying bitterness, carrying anger towards someone else simply because I'm not willing to forget. Right? Simply because, you know, I'm not going to, you know, acknowledge that person. Right? These were evil, evil people that put Jesus on the cross. Right? He didn't ignore that. Right? He didn't ignore them. Right? But he showed us an example of how to be forgiving. And we should have that kind of attitude. And considering Jesus on the cross, no one seemed very sorry. Right? The people that were around there, they didn't seem very sorry about it. Even as he said those words, the crowd laughed, mocked, jeered. Those who passed by hurled insults at him. They taunted him. They said, "If you're the King of the Jews, come down from the cross. Save yourself." Right? Mocking him. And, of course, we need to be clear at this point. When Jesus died on the cross, the people that put him to death were quite pleased with themselves. Right? Pilate, of course, had already kind of washed his hands of the whole affair. The Jewish leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees, hated him with a power-hungry hatred. They were happy to see him suffer and die. The forces of darkness, of course, had done their work, and the Son of God would soon be in the tomb. No one said, "You know what? I was wrong about that. You know, this is a mistake." And, of course, they were all fools in not doing that. Yet Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Right? The only person who you might say, in that whole mob around there, the only person who you might say was close to realizing his mistake was the centurion in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 54, who said, "Truly this was the Son of God." Right? Out of that whole angry mob, one person, maybe, had a glimpse of, you know, what I'm doing here isn't right. And yet he made that statement, right? Showing an attitude of forgiveness. And forgiveness is difficult in part because sometimes we don't understand it properly. At this point, it's probably necessary to clear up some of the misconceptions about forgiveness. In some ways, it's easier to say what forgiveness is not instead of what forgiveness really is. These misconceptions matter because sometimes when we say that we can't or won't forgive, we're actually talking about something other than biblical forgiveness. Right? So here's a few of the things that forgiveness is not. And just to kind of quantify all of this, this list, like the statement that Jesus made on the cross, this is talking about or dealing with the attitude of forgiveness, not the physical act, right? We have to do something to forgive someone, right? They have to do something for us to forgive them. It's just like our forgiveness from the Lord, right? So we're talking about the attitude of forgiveness, and this is what it is not. It does not mean approving of what someone else did. The attitude of forgiveness or having that attitude does not mean pretending that evil never took place. It doesn't mean making excuses for other people's bad behavior. It doesn't mean justifying evil so that somehow sin becomes just, you know, a little less sinful. Right? It's not about that at all. It doesn't mean that we overlook abuse. It doesn't mean denying that others try to hurt you repeatedly. It doesn't mean letting others walk all over you. It doesn't mean refusing to press charges when a crime has been committed. It doesn't mean immediately forgetting the wrong that was done. You know, well, I just can't forgive because, you know, I can't forget it. It takes time, right? Forgetting is not, we just don't flip a switch and it's gone, right? It takes time. Right? And just because it takes time doesn't mean you're not forgiving. Right? Or doesn't mean you don't have an attitude of forgiveness. Right? We should be trying to let it go. Right? That's what we should be doing. And it doesn't mean pretending that we were never hurt. Right? Because then you're just asking for it to bubble up again later. And then finally, it doesn't mean that all negative consequences of sin are canceled out. Sometimes when people do bad things to us, there are physical consequences. And those consequences just don't go away just because you offer an attitude of forgiveness towards that person. Right? Forgiveness, or this attitude of forgiveness, in its essence, is a decision made on the inside, in our mind, to refuse to live in the past. It's a conscious choice to release others from their sins against you so that you can be set free. Right? We think about, you know, an attitude of forgiveness, that's like, you know, toward you, right? Me toward you. But it does something for me. Right? It sets me free. Right? When I have an attitude of forgiveness, that frees me up to not have to worry about what happened back there. Right? I don't have to deal with that anymore. It doesn't deny the pain or change the past, but it does break the cycle of bitterness that binds you to the past. Forgiveness allows you to let it go and move on. Everyone says that, you know, forgiveness is a lovely idea, right? We all think of forgiveness as just, it's great. Lovely, lovely idea. And it is, right? It's a lovely idea until you have something to forgive. Right? And then it becomes difficult. You know, one day Peter asked Jesus how many times we have to forgive someone who sins against us. That's in Matthew chapter 18. Jesus told him 70 times 7, right? If you do the math in your head, that's 490 times. And that's a lot of sin and a lot of pain and a whole lot of forgiveness, right? And it seems almost impossible. It's like, you know, you know, if someone really, really sinned against you 490 times and came back to you and said, you know, I just don't know what's wrong with me. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Jesus said, you have to forgive him. You have to. Right? Not an option. Right? Have to. In Luke chapter 17, in verses 3 and 4, Jesus said that if our brother trespasses against us, that we should rebuke him. If he repents, we're to forgive him. Right? And of course, if we're going to forgive him, we need to have an attitude of forgiveness, right? That's all, you know, a mental thing. But there's also some outward things here, right? Right? We need to not let the sins of someone just go, right? Let them know. Hey, that's not right. Right? We owe that to them. Right? Why? Because their soul's salvation is on the line. Right? They could lose their soul over that one act. And what if we never said anything to them about it? Right? We need to do something if someone says something to us. If we've done something to someone, Jesus here tells us that we need to do something about that. Right? Repent. Right? Change. Also in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus told the parable about the steward or the servant who owed his master a great debt. Some of the scholars have likened that debt to what would be about $50 million today. Right? And somehow he'd run up this enormous debt and somehow managed to spend all the money. Right? And when the master comes back, he's asking, you know, where's my money? Right? I need you to pay me the money back that I gave you. And of course, he had nothing to pay, right? And begged his master, and his master forgave him the whole debt, right? And we know the story, right? He went away, and he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a smaller sum, here, you know, maybe say $100, right? Give me the money. Couldn't pay, you know, put him in jail. And of course, the master was told about what had happened, and he goes and gets this first servant, right? And has him thrown in jail and tortured until he could pay back the entire previous amount. Right, it's no longer wiped away. Now it's right back on your account again, and you're in jail for it. And the moral of that parable is very clear. Verse 35 of Matthew 18. This is how my heavenly Father will treat you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Right, not just say, yeah, I forgive you. Right, just to, you know, check the box. Right? No. Right? You have to mean it. Not just say it, mean it. Right? And, of course, Jesus knows the difference. Right? If we're just saying it, Jesus knows the difference. Right? So we need to truly forgive one another from the heart. And of course, that story kind of, you know, reflects back towards us, right? Because at one point, each and every one of us was that servant that had this $50 million debt, right? We had a pile of sins, right? A mountain of sins, so high that you couldn't climb over it, so deep you couldn't go under it, can't get around it, right? It's that $50 million debt. And we came to Jesus in obedience, right? And God wiped it all away. Right? That's us. Right? God wiped that away. And he did that through his mercy and grace. But then, what do? Right? We attend a service like this, right? At the end of the service, we get up from the pew, we walk out to the parking lot, we're humming, Love Lifted Me, right, on the way to the car. And then you see somebody that's done you wrong. Right? And now it's, right? Right? It's just, right? We're that servant. Right? We've been forgiven all that. That mountain is gone. Right? And what do? Right? Do we extend that kind of forgiveness to our brother and sister? Right? We need to. That shouldn't be the attitude we have. And we can't call ourselves a Christian if that is our attitude. Now there's three levels, really, of forgiveness. First, we need to rediscover the humanity of the person who hurt us. That simply means that without diminishing the fact that they've sinned, we admit that they are sinners just like we are sinners. Right? It's getting rid of the idea that I am better than they are. Right? Because I've messed up too. Right? We need to realize that. And it helps to kind of keep that out in front of us. Right? It keeps that attitude of forgiveness with us if we keep that in front of us. Secondly, we need to surrender our right to get even. And that's the hard part. Right? It's hard because every fiber in our being wants to make them pay. Right? You know what you did to me. Right? You know how much pain that caused? Right? Every fiber is like, you know. Right? And we have to fight that. Right? And we need to leave the judgment, of course, in the hands of our merciful God. And thirdly, we revise our feelings towards the other person. That means giving up our hatred and letting go of our bitterness. And really, ultimately, it means taking Jesus seriously when he said, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. That's Matthew 5:44. Can you do that? Can you pray for somebody that just hurt you? Not pray that they'll, you know, well, I guess, yeah, pray that maybe they'll come around and repent, but pray that good things will happen to them, right? First thing most of us want to do is curse them, right? Jesus said, bless them, pray for them, right? Can we do that, right? If we can, then we've really got forgiveness, right? We really have that attitude of forgiveness. And of course, as we're praying for them, maybe it's a good idea to ask God for help in that regard, because it's difficult, right? We could all use a little bit of help in extending forgiveness. And two final thoughts. First, forgiveness is not an optional part of Christian life. It's a necessary part of what it means to be a Christian. If we're going to follow Jesus, we have to forgive because Jesus forgave. We have really no other choice. We must forgive as God has forgiven us, right? Freely, completely, and graciously, right? Just extending it, right? And of course, we know that for us to, you know, forgive someone, to truly forgive them, right? that person needs to come and repent. Right? We have scripture for that. Right? But we need to let that person know that, hey, it's right here waiting for you. Right? When you're ready, I'm ready. Right? We need to let them know. Secondly, we will forgive to the extent that we appreciate how much we've been forgiven. Right? That's how much we will forgive, is how much we appreciate having been forgiven. The best incentive to forgiveness is to remember how much God has already forgiven you. Right? Think about all those sins that God has covered up, right? Remember that mountain. Right? We've all got that mountain. Right? That's gone. Right? If you're a Christian, right? That mountain's gone. Right? Think about that. Right? Remember that and appreciate that. Right? That God just wiped that slate clean. Right? When we do that, it'll help us to pass that on, right? To extend forgiveness. Jesus said in Luke 7:47, he who has been forgiven little loves little. Right? Again, forgiveness and love paired up together. Right? Question for us tonight is, are you forgiven? Right? Are you forgiven? If you've never obeyed the gospel, then you still have that mountain. Right? It's still right there in front of you. Right? Can't get over it, can't get under it, around it, nothing. Right? It's not going to move. Right? But you can be free from it. Right? God can move a mountain easily. Right? He can move that mountain of sin. Having heard the gospel, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, you're willing to change your life, to repent of your past life, and turn from a life of serving self to one of serving the Lord. If you're willing to confess that Jesus is the Christ, you can be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Right? And that mountain is gone. Right? Wiped away. Completely gone. Right? And, of course, for those of us who have obeyed the gospel, again, we've already talked about the fact that we've been forgiven. Right? But sometimes we allow sin into our life. Right? And God is standing there as we should be, right? Ready and waiting to forgive us. Right? God tells us as Christians, if we sin, we need to pray to God and repent. Right? Confess our sins to Him, and He's faithful and just to forgive us. Right? If you're subject to the gospel's call, we'd ask that you come forward as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.